Welcome to our Ideas Matter segment for this week, where we take time just about every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today we are speaking with Mimi Sheridan about food, the ethics of food, the idea of fad diets, and how to eat responsibly. Mimi Sheridan is a noted food and restaurant critic. She is also a board member for the New York Council for the Humanities, and she served as the scholar advisor in the council's new Food Fight Reading and Discussion Series. And it is a great pleasure and honor to welcome Mimi Sheridan to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, John. I've been looking forward to this.
What a delight to have you on the program. Tell us a little bit about this Food Fight series and how it came about.
Well, it really came about because we at the New York Council for the Humanities try to prepare programs that nonprofit organizations can run for their own audience, and food being such a big, important topic now, and I being part of the board, it seemed like a good idea, but rather than stressing popular subjects like restaurants and recipes and so on, we chose to deal with so many of the issues that determine people's choice of foods these days, things like local foods, things like organic food, sustainable foods, eating carefully with a view toward the world's food supply, and all of those issues, which though they seem very current and modern, as I say in this program that I planned, they've really existed as long as food and people have. Adulteration is dealt with in the Bible. Sustainable farming is dealt with in the Bible. There's a very interesting book based on ancient Greek banquets, which scholars attended, and they would discuss things like adulteration in their food and so on. So the foods may be different. The scale may be different. But as I do point out in the program, it's not surprising that this has been so continuous with civilization, because we have always been dependent on the vested interests that stand between the producer and the consumer.
So to be a good consumer when it comes to food, what should we keep in mind? And is there a point where you can take that too far?
Yes, there certainly is. I was faced with it not long ago. I was at one of our big art movie theater houses, and you know they have some food in front so you can have a snack while you wait, and they had about six different kinds of candy bars. Each company that made each candy bar was giving proceeds to a different charity. One was to the workers of the area, one was to some other group, and I thought, I used to just choose the chocolate that I liked the taste of. Now I have to think of where the proceeds are going. And I do think on a similar scale, that is bedeviling a lot of people. Should I buy it in a farmer's market? Should I grow it myself? And I deplore the moralistic tone that advocates of responsible eating often reflect. Sort of give me a break. I'm doing the best I can. Generally speaking, local foods, especially in the ways of fish and produce and fruit, is likely to be better, but maybe not always. And you have a choice of who you sustain. I look at fruit and vendors who stand on the corners of New York and sell various fruits, and I think if I buy it from them, I'm not buying it from the local farmers market. On the other hand, these are immigrants, and this is an entry-level occupation, and maybe I should help them. So you can let it get to you.
Let's take a moment to honor pioneers in our world, and you are one of them. You were the first female restaurant critic for the New York Times. This
Correct.
Was in the 1970s. And I'm curious as to how much of this, I mean, did you think of it really of any of this at that time when you were writing your column week to week?
I think in aside from restaurant reviews, because I did a lot of other food writing,
right.
In writing about, for example, how to judge the quality of an apple, I might have noted that those, this being a New York publication, the apples from New York State were generally the best bet. They came from the closest orchards, and they happened to grow exceptionally good varieties of apples that I like, the McIntosh and the McCoon and so on. So it was usually in terms of what is best rather than choosing it because it's local. If best turned out to be local, that was fine. I did not bring any of those principles and concerns to restaurant reviewing unless it was an instance, and it was very rare in those days, for example, for a Chinese restaurant to serve shark's fins. That I might have made a negative comment because they're an endangered species.
Right.
And that's, I think, a different point of view. But otherwise, I did not really concern myself in a restaurant review as to whether it was local. Organic only because if they made the claim, it ought to be, and one can never be sure if it is.
So with all of the choices that we have now, should taste and what we like still come pretty near the top of the list of things that we're looking for?
I'm happy to say they do.
Okay, that's
because
good.
Because in the end, you have to eat the food and enjoy the food. And although, for example, we get some very nice peaches from our local area in summer, from maybe Pennsylvania, New Jersey, at least once a season, I send mail order for peaches from Georgia, because those are still the best peaches in the country. And I think it's very important to have a high-quality benchmark in mind. So I do things like that. I order white Indian River grapefruit in winter from Florida, at least one shipment, so I can renew the standards.
When you think about that idea of going for, it can get complicated, of finding the different things that you want, right? They're not all right in front of you in the market or even in a farmer's market. You really
right.
do have to shop around and pick and choose.
Yes, well, I would say now, you know, I have recently written a book called 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die.
Yes.
And a lot of the ingredients are unusual, and everything in the book has to be available. And I found in some cases for ingredients, not so much for dishes, but ingredients, that some of the most exotic were available online. So that has become a very valuable source, exotic spices, even vegetables, fruit, seeds for gardeners. And there's a wide array online, which is a big help, especially for people who are not in major cities with, you know, large markets.
Mimi Sheridan is a noted food and restaurant critic and a board member for the New York Council for the Humanities. The Council's new Food Fight reading and discussion series is now up and running. You can find out more by going to nyhumanities.org, nyhumanities.org. Mimi Sheridan, what a great thrill to speak with you this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. I enjoyed it. And be careful. It's Friday the 13th.
I will indeed. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.